on Life.
Hello, and a very happy Sunday evening to you. You're listening to Lucas on Life here on Premier Christian Radio. Here at Premier, we've recently been celebrating the adventure of there being 30 years of Christian broadcasting. I'm Jeff Lucas, and adventure is our theme for this evening. Back in 1985, my wife Kay and I, together with our young family, began what turned out to be quite the adventure. We emigrated from the UK to America, accepting the invitation to serve in a church in Klamath Falls, Oregon, over on the West Coast. We decided to fly first of all to San Antonio, Texas, to attend a Christian conference, and we spent a few bleary-eyed, jet-lagged days enjoying the event. But then the time came for us to drive from Texas to Oregon. We bought a car, a Chrysler Newport, perhaps an unfamiliar name. The bonnet stretched into infinity, and I think that that machine could go from 0 to 60 in about 3 weeks. We looked at the map, and we looked at Oregon. We looked at where we were in Texas, and it was about 7 inches away. Now, as we know in the UK, depending on the scale of the map, 7 inches might be a couple of hundred miles. So I said to Kay and to the kids, let's just drive over there this afternoon. 12 hours later, we looked at the map again, and we'd covered 3/4 of an inch. It was exhausting, bewildering. We thought the journey would never come to an end, but it was quite the adventure. Jesus invited his disciples to go on an adventure with him. Check out John chapter 1 sometime, and you'll discover that Jesus encountered 5 young men. The evidence is that they were 19 years old or less, some say as young as 15. The oldest was most likely Peter, probably in his mid to high 20s. But he invited these young guys to become his followers. And such was their total confidence in him as a rabbi, guide, and leader, they immediately laid aside security and predictability, and they followed him into the unknown. Truly an adventure. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word adventure specifically, but that's certainly a great description of what unfolded in the disciples' lives. One dictionary describes adventure as an unusual, exciting, and possibly dangerous activity, trip, or experience. And the Bible is full of adventures. In the Old Testament, God called Abraham to go on a journey. And you know, when you think about traveling, one of the first questions you ask is, where exactly are we going? But when we look at Genesis 12, we discover that the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. In other words, pack your bags, Abraham. You're going traveling, and as yet, you don't know exactly where you're going to. And then when you look at the book of Jonah as well, you discover that that book is not about Jonah, really. It's not about a big fish. It's not even about the people of Nineveh. It's about the adventurous God that we serve. In the 48 verses of the 4 chapters of that book, God is mentioned in 39 of them. Of course, Jonah was infamously reluctant and didn't want to go traveling with God, ran away in the opposite direction, booked himself a cruise. It didn't end well, at least initially. So let's think tonight about what it means to follow Jesus and perhaps rediscover a fresh sense of adventure. We're talking about adventure, specifically the adventure of faith tonight. I mentioned the calling of 5 of the disciples earlier, and they certainly were called into the unknown. They were invited to go on a mystery tour. When they asked Jesus where he was staying in John chapter 1, he didn't even tell them the location of where he was hanging out. Come, he said, and you will see. You see, in that culture, a disciple was simply called to walk in the dust created by their rabbi's sandals, to walk so closely, not to necessarily know what the agenda was for the day, where they were going, but just to embrace mystery, trust, and follow. There were surprises promised as well. Every great adventure has some turning points, some episodes that we don't expect. There was a young man called Nathanael called to follow Jesus. He was stunned when Jesus announced that he'd seen him sitting under a fig tree and declared that Jesus was indeed the King of Israel. And yet Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the tree, but you will see greater things than that." In other words, you've seen nothing yet, Nathanael. And the very next day, water was turned into wine in Cana of Galilee. That was Nathanael's hometown. He was experiencing incredible surprises, even on his home territory. Jesus also called those five young men to a life filled with eternal purpose. They would see the supernatural, the miraculous, stunning healings, demonic reactions. Think about it. If all that we say about Christianity is really true, what could be greater than to live for that purpose and walk with Jesus? This is the way we're designed to live. Adventures also involve risk as well. And as I think about that, my mind immediately goes to Peter walking on water. The disciples are terrified, and Jesus walks on the waves towards them. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. We read about that in Matthew chapter 14. There were dangerous times too. There was a moment when the disciples were absolutely terrified. We read about it in John 20. The disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Let's never present Christianity as a life where we'll never get bored or fed up or fearful and terrified. Because for the disciples, there were interruptions. There were frustrations to be navigated. Remember that time? We read of it in Matthew 14, where we're told that as evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away." In other words, those young men were saying, "Enough already, Jesus. Can we stop now? Could we just relax for a while?" Being on an adventure, it doesn't always involve smooth sailing. But those young men were called to be with the most amazing travel companion, leader, and guide. And just as they followed him, we follow the most dynamic, wonderful, colorful person that there is, Jesus. As Albert Einstein famously said, he is the luminous Nazarene who said, "I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." This Jesus that we follow, he's the one who's described at the beginning of the Bible as the agent of creation, the artist, the poet. He's the one who's described at the end of the Bible in Revelation 21 as making all things new. And he sees us, me, you, and calls us to an adventure. As we think about adventure this evening, let's realize that Christianity can settle into being a dull habit where we attend church and sing some songs and just get stuck in a kind of vague, boring routine. And the Bible acknowledges that too. Galatians 6 says, "Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." Adventure. As we move into summer, hopefully, for many of us, that will involve some new experiences, perhaps some travel. So let's prayerfully think tonight. Has Christianity become a bit of a habit for us, or are we still traveling with Jesus? My wife Kay and I travel a lot, and before we leave the house, we have a departure checklist, things that we need to make sure that we have done so that we don't show up at the airport, perhaps without the right documentation. Here's a few thoughts about traveling with Jesus. First of all, let's discard excess baggage. I don't really like airports anymore. I think that they're emotional black holes, rather obviously, because people are only actually there at the airport because they want to be somewhere else. And then there's security, and I'm grateful for the security measures that are taken, but it doesn't feel wonderful to have a security officer looking at you suspiciously, wondering if you've got a tactical nuclear warhead in your bag, or even worse, a bottle of water. And then there's the moment at check-in where they weigh your bag. Heaven help you if you're 2 or 3 pounds over, because not only do you have to repack, but you probably have to do it while everybody is waiting in the queue behind you, watching. And guess what? You packed your underwear at the top of the bag. When we're traveling with Jesus, let's discard the excess baggage, the extra weight of shame and regret. Let's allow him to forgive us. Let's accept his grace. Sometimes Christians say to me that they don't feel forgiven. My response to that is, what does it feel like to feel forgiven? Accepting God's forgiveness is an act of faith in just the same way as deciding to follow Jesus and become a Christian is an act of faith. Let's dump the excess baggage. Let's make sure that we're carrying a map or the GPS on our phone. What's the application of that? Well, obviously for us as followers of Jesus, we're talking about scripture, knowing God's word, not feeling overwhelmed or bewildered, but rather making sure that we know, we memorize, we reflect upon scripture. Thirdly, let's make sure that our passports are current and up to date. My passport photo is absolutely horrifying. I look like a movie star, though. But the trouble is, the movie star I'm thinking of is Shrek. It's terrifying. Recently, I checked in and the gate agent flipped open my passport and then jumped back in horror. It's terrifying. So what's the point of me talking about a passport here? Well, a passport indicates a readiness to travel, a willingness to be available. I've been reflecting over following Jesus for probably 50 years now, and my wife Kay and I have taken some real steps of faith along the way, where we knew that if God didn't help us, well, we didn't know how we were going to end up. The question is my passport, figuratively speaking, still current? Am I still willing to be available, to have beautiful disruptions in my life? And that's not just about traveling to the other side of the world, becoming a missionary. It might be willing to give Jesus our Monday morning afresh and be available to him. Lastly, let's take in the view in the adventure. You know, when you go on a journey, you see fresh things, you see new landscapes. Let's not just live our lives at a rush. Let's slow down, pause, and notice. It was Lily Tomlin who famously said, "Life is a rat race, and even if you win, you're still a rat." So here's the question. Are we still willing to go on the adventure that Jesus invites us to? So as we've been thinking about adventure tonight, let me just say that it's perhaps possible that you're listening to this and you've never actually decided to become a follower of Jesus. Maybe you stumbled across Premier this evening. Maybe you're a churchgoer. It's a habit, but you've never truly decided to go all in and invite him to take charge in your life. In a few moments, I'd like to share the number for the Premier Lifeline, which is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call that number. They would love to pray with you and help you in making that decision. And perhaps for those of us who are already followers of Jesus, let's check. Are we still on the adventure? Still journeying? Still following? Adventure. Let's go all the way with Jesus. And the number for Premier Lifeline, it's 0300 111 0101. Let me say it again, 0300 111 0101. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.